This is The World. I'm Lisa Mullins with another Yugo joke. Okay, so this guy goes to a dealer and he says, I'd like a gas cap for my Yugo. And the dealer replies, okay, sounds like a fair trade. But seriously, folks, the American entrepreneur who started the Yugo craze by importing the no-frills car to the United States back in the 1980s is back at it again. Malcolm Bricklin has struck up another deal with the Serbian car maker Zastava to make some low-cost autos for American drivers, and he's not joking. The World's Jeb Sharp reports.
Only someone as colorful as Bricklin would take on the challenge of resurrecting the Yugo. He's had his share of eccentric failures, including a gullwing sports car that he named after himself in the 1970s that never took off. But this is also the guy who introduced Subaru to the American market in 1968. Today, he's a youthful 63-year-old who shows up to an interview in black t-shirt and cargo pants, fresh from his latest round of negotiations with the Yugo's maker, Zastava Motor Works.
We have just come back from Serbia, and we have signed the contract with them to import the cars into the United States, the Caribbean, and Canada. And we've signed a letter of intent, which gives us the obligation and the right to find financing for their factory and then end up with ownership of the factory, which is a very big deal.
A big deal and a grand irony, a factory that once epitomized Western stereotypes of Eastern European communism becoming the property of an arch-capitalist and entrepreneur based in New York City. Bricklin's calling his venture Zastava Motor Works USA and the cars themselves ZMWs, pun apparently intended. Keep in mind, this is the same factory NATO bombed 3 years ago in its air campaign against Serbia.
Is reporting air raid sirens and explosions in the town of Kragujevac.
How times change. Former Yugoslav president Slobodan Milosevic is on trial for war crimes at The Hague, and in the new Serbia, Malcolm Bricklin finds himself dealing with officials half his age who are trying to rescue their country from the ruins of the Milosevic era. Bricklin says he was prepared for the worst when he visited his former contacts at the old Yugo factory.
The first thing they did is show us the films of the missiles hitting the factories. And I went, oh my, there's no factory here. And then we walked through the factory, and there it was, all put together.
According to Bricklin, Zastava employees and local townspeople moved a lot of heavy equipment out of harm's way before the bombing and helped clean up afterward. Bricklin suggests the money and effort that went into the repairs are a testament to the new government's commitment to privatizing its antiquated industries.
So the factory is back in place. What isn't in place is during the embargo, it was against the law to sell to anybody outside the country or buy from anybody outside the country, and they lost all their distribution. So what I found was a group of people who really care, who are really trained, who have this wonderful asset and have been beaten up bad spiritually.
Enter Bricklin. His idea is to whip the factory into shape with the kinds of incentives that were impossible under the old system. He wants to start selling his new ZMWs 14 months from now and hopes to have 60,000 available in the United States in the first year. He insists they're not the same old Yugo. The ZMW will sport a Peugeot engine, a new skin, a spiffy interior, and comes in four different models, a two-door, a four-door, a convertible, and a pickup. But like the old Yugo, the price will be cheap, between $5,000 and $10,000. Bricklin says it's a car for people who have no choice but a used car or no car. Try telling that to a Yugo skeptic.
If you have an option of buying a 6 or 7 years old Volkswagen Jetta for $6,000 or a new ZMW for $6,000, I would buy a Volkswagen Jetta.
Ivo Skoric is one of the founders of an organization in New York City that brings together immigrants from the former Yugoslavia across ethnic lines. He remembers the old Yugos only too well.
You know, I remember the times when I was still living in Yugoslavia in late 80s, you know, my friends had a Yugo and I had 17 years old Russian Lada. And I had less problems with my 17 years old Russian Lada than they had with their new Yugo, and that was something wrong with that, obviously. The late Yugos were really, really bad cars. So from my perspective, the ZMW would first have to prove itself.
But Skoric is intrigued by Malcolm Bricklin's endeavor because he has a Yugo project of his own. The song I Drive a Yugo by the Norfolk, Virginia band Left Wing Fascist greets visitors to Skoric's website. You can find information there about his pet project, Cyber Yugo. He's using an old donated Yugo as the setting for a traveling museum exhibit that will be part virtual reality game, part educational tool.
I was thinking the most logical way to use an old Yugo would be as a vehicle to visit the memories of the former Yugoslavia in a cyberspace. And instead of an engine, to have a computer. So when you turn the steering wheel and press the gas, a car will move, but not the car you're sitting in, the car in your memory.
Skorich's whimsy is now a work in progress. The truncated shell of the old Yugo has been under a tarp all winter in the alley outside the headquarters of his nonprofit organization in an old industrial section of Queens.
Okay, now you can see the inside a little bit.
The next step is to hook up the software and hardware needed to make it all work.
This is the brake pedal. This little thing is a transmission. The transmission is going to be our zoom, so that you can zoom in and out.
If it comes together the way Skorich envisions it, Cyber Yugo will let users pinpoint a spot on a huge projected map of the former Yugoslavia. Then they'll be able to click and steer their way through digital layers of music, stories, film clips, and photos from the Balkans.
That's a little rusty. It needs to be oiled or put W-40 on it.
Skorich, who was a reporter in Croatia in the 1980s, has done a bit of research on just why late-model Yugos were such bad cars. By his analysis, Serbian leader Milosevic's trade boycotts against other republics of the former Yugoslavia were the car's downfall. The Yugo was assembled in Serbia, but key parts were made in other parts of Yugoslavia. Steel in Slovenia, tires in Croatia, parts of the chassis in Bosnia. As Milosevic clamped down on each republic in turn, the factory in Serbia had to resort to poorer quality materials closer to hand. Ivo Skorich sees the car as a good metaphor for his old country.
It was a symbol for me of that unity, of that attempt of people in that region to do something together. And then it became also a symbol of failure to do that. Because as soon as Yugoslavia started to fall apart, the Yugo also failed.
For Skorich, the story of the Yugo is over. He envisioned Cyber Yugo as a museum piece and a portal to the past. For auto entrepreneur Malcolm Bricklin, that's not necessarily a negative. He wants consumers to forget about the old Yugo and see his new ZMW as a completely new car. Last time he brought Yugos into this country, he had to bail out after 2 years because the cars were so bad. His successors ended up in bankruptcy. His ZMW venture depends on Serbian reforms and American good humor. How else to convince a nation of SUV lovers to buy the new version of a small, cheap Euro vehicle once dubbed the worst car of the millennium? For The World, I'm Jeb Sharp, New York City.
I said, lady, I drive a Yugo. I drive a Yugo. And that's what I know.